The Wisp hasn't drawn breath since our special guest Shawnee Hampson's walked into the studio. Played 98 games, by the way. Very good with the Blues and the Tigers, but now he's just the survivor man. Welcome, Shawnee.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good to see a lot of our text messages want to know how you're going to be here and then back at Tribal Council by Sunday.
It's confusing, isn't it, mate? Back and forth flight to Fiji.
How long ago did that all complete, the show, that part?
I've been back since like late June. We started, I think it was the 1st of May the game started or around there, so... it all just went super quick, and then before you know it, you're back home. It's bizarre.
Tim and I are fanatical on it. We love it. We're obsessed by it. Were you that? I know I heard you and Megan talk about the fact you went back and watched every single, or as much as you possibly could. Were you a fan before that?
Huge fan. So I've watched it since I was 12 years old. I've seen just about every season, and always thought being on it would be amazing. Never sort of applied or anything like that and never thought about it, but when the opportunity arose, it's all I could think about. It's all like it controlled every part of my life for about 6 months from
Were you approached? Could you have gone on either the Champions or the Contenders?
So I was approached for Champions,
right,
which, you know, felt a bit funny because I know the players they have on there as Champions, they've all like 300 games, yeah. like Blackie.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they said, oh, actually, we've got Blackie, he's done a bit more in footy than you. I was like, all right, well, I still want to play. Stick me on the Contenders tribe. Right. And I sort of hit him with the 98 games, a lot of injuries, no awards, no accolades. So put me on there. I said it'll be a good sort of thing. And they loved it, so they went with it.
Didn't stop Abby Holmes going on the Champions team.
Oh, low blow. First female to kick 100 goals, Wisp.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, your game, what was your game?
So the game was, I think anybody that goes in there, their plan is to not stand out for any reason. So you don't want to be too good at challenges, not good enough, too helpful around camp, not helpful enough, too much of an asshole, too nice.
Yep.
But you got so many other people trying to do that it's really hard. And, you know, I went in there with the intentions of holding back in some challenges, and I just couldn't do it because they were too competitive. They were too much fun. So it sort of quickly put a target on my back, I think, as a bit of a challenge threat. So,
because that's what I was thinking. Just hold back.
You're
putting a target on you.
It's not as easy as it sounds, though. Because, like, reward challenges, right? You're starving. You haven't anything but rice and beans for weeks. And then a reward challenge comes up. Like, you don't want to hold back in that. Like, you want to try win the thing because you're dying to eat. So, you know, my strategy sort of quickly changed to just, I've always just got to keep a good group of people around me, stay in the majority, but you can't control other people, unfortunately. So,
do you ever, at any stage, did it occur to you that you might just put one right on Dave's chin? Just bang, a short, sharp jab.
Yeah.
The supermodel Dave, if you're not a watcher, he and Shorty developed this great rivalry for the cameras. I don't know what it was like.
Well, he handed Sean the fake
I know he did.
Idol.
That's what I'm asking.
It was very genuine, that rivalry.
Was it?
Yeah. Like we actually get along really well, and we've got along well post-game. We sort of talk a fair bit and stuff. But, I mean, out there, it was like I was out for blood. and that's one thing I think that ruined me a bit too, was I got so caught up in trying to get revenge that it sort of clouded my judgment a bit, and there were some smarter calls I could have made along the way, but I definitely had a few dreams about just laying one on him.
And what about Daisy? Love her, great character, looked like she's a lot of fun. She's got no game, and in the end she voted you out.
She did. Which I think was the right move.
Do you?
Yeah, we'd sort of always say in our little alliance, you know, there were sort of four or five of us in that, and it would always be on the right side of the vote. So unless you can definitely pull a blind side off, you want to be putting the right name down, the person who's going home. Because if Daisy chucks out a Luke vote out of loyalty, for me, that automatically puts a target on her back with Lukey. So it was a smart thing to do. I would have done the same thing, but she was a very emotional player. And that's, I think, one thing that I wish I didn't necessarily work with because it's unpredictable.
Of course.
She's a fantastic girl, her, but just like just too emotional to work with.
I love the fact that when she'd make those phone calls to her home, her first question was to her mum and dad, has it been raining out there in Queensland in the outback?
Yeah, and she was like, because when she came into the game, she said it was arid. They hadn't had rain in so long, and then when she did end up seeing them on the cinema challenge, she had a video camera at the property. She said there was grass, and she was like blown away by that more than anything.
Did you love the whole experience of what you did?
Loved it. Yeah. It was genuinely, I had some of the worst, hardest days of my life out there, like by far.
Why?
Mate, you just like you're paranoid. You're around people that you can't trust. You're starving. You're sleep deprived. Yeah. You get over it at times. You know, the days are long and really low points, but genuinely some of the highest as well. Like up there with any sort of win in football, you know, that euphoric feeling when you win some of those challenges and just playing the game that I was such a fan of. It was just, it was the best. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Tell me about the food situation, because everyone who watches it sits there thinking, I wonder if I could do this. But I'm thinking maybe most of it, but the food for me, just is that real, or do they say, right, our camera, stop rolling, and they roll out a steak?
It is as real as it gets.
Really?
The food part, yeah. Like, I think anybody can do it. It's miserable, and the whole time, like 80% of what we talk about is food. So they obviously have to do a fair bit of editing to get all that out. But it gets to the point where you start dreaming about it. So we were waiting for a challenge, so we were sort of sitting down, and I fell asleep sitting down because your energy levels are gone. And I still remember this clear as day. I was dreaming that I could see a fork in the air, and somebody like scooped it down and like pulled off this meat off like a roast chuck, and then I held it, and then I saw the fork come in front of my face, and I was like, I'm on here. And then I went to bite it, like in real life, bite it, and that's when I sort of woke up, and Johnny was looking at me going,
really?
What did you just do?
That is unbelievable.
Was the greatest disappointment then the fact that Andrew Ettinghausen, who's got his own fishing franchise and show, couldn't catch a fish. What about that?
Yeah. I think when the champions won the fishing gear, they were like, we're on here, we're in for days. And he couldn't catch a thing.
Nothing.
But I'm not a good fisherman, but, you know, we went out there quite a lot and stuff, and there was just nothing but small things around, and they were sort of hard to get, and they take, you know, but a lot of the time too, it might look like we've got a lot of time, but you sometimes don't have that much time out there to go fishing. And some days you just can't do it. You wake up and then they tell you you've got to get ready for a challenge. Then you go and you just, that takes hours, like going to the challenge, safety briefing and stuff like that beforehand. And then coming back, hours, your day's gone.
So there's no creature comforts. What do they provide apart from, you know, that morsel of food every day? What else do they provide?
So a machete and a pot.
That's it.
And then you win the other things. So you got to win a flint. You've got to, you know, win any rewards and stuff like that. But you turn up to camp because we didn't win the first challenge. So the other team got a flint. They got fruit, like this bevy of things. And we turn up to camp and we had one machete and one pot. And they said, go for it.
That's it.
No creature comforts. We're not getting anything off camera. Like, what you see is what you get.
Toilet? Like, someone said, well, ask you want to be a toilet.
So we've got a long drop, which I think, you know, it's still not ideal, but it's more of a safety and environmental issue that the Fijian.
Yep.
So that's probably, if you
can
call that a luxury, that's the one luxury we get.
And you're the first one on the council. So did you stay for the rest of the game, do you? So where do you stay then?
So I was put up in like, there was this tiny little resort, had about maybe 8-9 single bedroom villas on it. So I stayed there for, I think it was 18 days. So I came out of the game, lost like 11 kilos.
Wow.
But then I was first jury member. So what happens is when you're voted out, you go to the villa, they set up a feast for you, like a table full of food.
Right.
I was doing that every second night. Somebody was coming out. So I was having to join them for the feast.
It came back 10 kilo over.
Yeah. Heavier than when I went in.
Hey, we've worked out what Simon Black's game is while he's on Survivor. We've got some of the highlights of things he's had to say so far during the Survivor series. Have a listen to this.
He doesn't talk.
No, he didn't. He was, everybody loved Blackie.
You can't not love him.
World's nicest guy, but when it came to the game, I think his strategy was just to sort of not play.
And Pia, like, she appears now that she's got a lot of game that she's been trying to conceal. Were you suspecting that was going to be the case?
I definitely thought in that little trio, Janine was running the show, but watching the show back, you sort of realised just how much Pia was doing behind the scenes. So I think she's a very clever girl, and those three girls are really dangerous.
Okay, so I know you can't give anything away, but
Tim, don't even fish.
He's fishing for it, isn't he?
For a few more surprises. There you go.
Mate, the season is full of surprises.
This is, you know, by the way, I think this is the best Australian Survivor series that I've ever watched, and I've watched them all.
Yeah.
I think this one is right up there.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, and it's fantastic to sort of be, you know, as a fan of the show, to be such like a good season. That was one thing I went out there with. I said, I just don't want a boring season, which is I wanted to go out there and make big, bold moves and stuff. And luckily, a lot of people are on the same page as me.
Shaun, we've been trying to get you in the studio for a long time. We could talk about Survivor all morning, but we've got to move on for some other stuff. Good luck for whatever. You might get into the US version. Would you go and do that?
I'd give it a go.
Of course you would.
Give you a star. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, appreciate it.
Shaunie Hampson here joining us in the studio. We've got to get a break, which we're happy to do. And Mike Sheen will join us next.